This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, March 11th, 2011 here at Gillette Stadium.
Did you forget in the middle?
No. Patriots Football Weekly's Paul Perillo joining me, Andy Hart, also of Patriots Football Weekly, occasionally at Patriots.com, sometimes PFW in progress, and the many other media arms of the Fred Kirsch empire. Here for another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. No official moves this week, kind of a limbo week. We're actually still waiting today on the latest deadline in the CBA negotiations between the owners and the players' union. Either D-Day, which some are predicting, where you could have decertification and all hell breaking loose, or another extension, and who knows, we could move on from there.
More than likely.
But from a Patriots perspective, we have a couple players in the news this week, and their situations that put them in the news could have to do with their roster spot come September.
Sure.
Or October or November, or whenever there is a season. First and foremost, we'll start with Kevin Faulk. 12-year veteran, set to become a free agent, coming off ACL surgery, rehabbing, made an appearance in Boston, visiting some sick patients this week, and talked a little bit, obviously, about his future. And I thought the most interesting thing was just the honest fact that he doesn't really know, and he even talked about his wife kind of getting confused with how he is talking about retirement with her and what could happen and what the future may hold. And first, I want to start with you, Paul. Do you want Kevin Faulk back as a player? Not as a in your heart. I want to know in your head and on your depth chart, do you want Kevin Faulk back?
I do. I want him back. I still think that he provides so much physically and emotionally. I think he's one of those guys that he offers so much more than just his production. Yeah, I do. I want him back.
I'm going to read a quote.
If he's healthy enough to come back, obviously.
Sure. I'm going to read a quote from Eric Scalavino's piece, because he was in Boston with Faulk, and his piece on the PFW blog. Quote, is it time to let go? Is it time to come back? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I believe him. I don't think he knows right now, and he certainly is not helped out in any way by the overall uncertainty of the league. Because
that's huge.
That changes things.
Because I remember listening to Stephen Neal talk about this, too. If you don't rehab with the intent on coming back, you're not going to rehab the same way. And I think Kevin might be going through a little of that right now, and that's why I don't think he's going to be back. Because if you're going back and forth with some, uncertainty, I think that affects your rehab. But your point factors into that even more. He's like, I don't even know if I want to come back. And if I do all this work, what am I coming back to?
Right.
You know, maybe there is no settlement of this until the summer, and then where am I? I'm in limbo. So I can understand people, the players, having some serious reservations that are in situations like Kevin Faulk.
You know, and I think it's interesting, he talked a little bit about having to have plans in place if there is a lockout, if there is decertification, whatever, because he wouldn't be able to train on any team facilities, which
right.
I'm not sure he'd be able to train in a team facility anyway because he's a free agent. So technically he'd have to sign a deal before he would be training here at Gillette Stadium. But, you know, I think that could make it easier to retire, because once you're just in some random rehab place with a couple other guys and an old lady and, you know, someone like you, no offense, but someone rehabbing their Achilles tendon from pickup basketball at age 40, you know, once you're in that environment, well, that's a totally different environment. That's not being with the guys at the stadium and the whole camaraderie aspect of it.
Right.
That might just say, okay, you know what? It's coming to an end. I'm becoming a regular person here. I'm just rehabbing with Joe Schmo down the street who just wants to be able to walk his dog at night. So I think that could be a factor. One thing that's interesting he was asked about is if Danny Woodhead's emergence would play any factor in his returning to the Patriots, because I think we all agree Kevin Faulk doesn't want to go anywhere else to play. If he returns, in all likelihood, it's going to be as a New England Patriot.
I would be stunned otherwise.
But he was asked about Woodhead, and he said, that's a good question, a real good question. I'm a competitor. I love Danny. I respect Danny to the fullest. He has the same respect for me as well. But we're on the football team to do the same thing, to help our team win games. I've been in the league 12 years. I've been fortunate. I've been in the backfield with some of the best in the game. It doesn't bother me to be a competitor, and that's what Danny is. So he knows he'd be competing. You know, that role, he wouldn't come back and just be the third down guy. He might be, even if he comes back a backup guy, you know, a fourth member of the running back by committee, the backup third down guy, the extra piece.
Right.
So that's an interesting factor there, too. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think in their hearts, all Patriots fans want him back. I personally also believe if he can get healthy, I'd take him back for one more year as an extra guy. You know, because right now they have two spots filled. They have Woodhead and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Right.
And they've carried five recently. So you kind of have three open spots. If you give one of those to Falk, one to a veteran and one to a draft pick, okay, I might like how that backfield, the depth kind of unfolds.
Yeah, and I think it gives you a little bit of insurance in case, you know, in case you realize that maybe Woodhead perhaps was a guy who caught a lot of teams off guard last year. Now
right.
he's a part of the game plan on a regular basis for the other teams. They're going to go into the offseason, this is what he does. This is what Danny Woodhead does. This is how they use him. This is what we need to be prepared for. We saw a big difference between the second time the Jets saw Danny Woodhead from the first time they saw him, and they knew him as well as anyone
right.
from having had him on their team for 3 years.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes down, but we all wish Kevin Falk well in his rehab and whatever he does end up doing this fall and moving forward.
Absolutely.
He's one of the all-time great Patriots. He'll have a spot in my Hall of Fame.
And one
someday.
Of the all-time PFW friends
yes.
in that locker room.
Even when busting our cojones.
Always making fun of us as we tried to get on the plane before him.
Okay, next. Brandon Merriweather in the news. Not for quite the same types of reasons as Kevin Falk. Not the greatest of reasons. Mm-hmm. Came out yesterday morning that he was in the area of a shooting. We now have pretty good feeling about that. That's certainly how the Orange County Police in Florida have deemed it, that they have pretty good feeling that Brandon Merriweather was there at this incident where two men were shot with, I think, a single bullet. It stemmed from a bar fight that then spilled over into a party at a house after the bar. You know, a lot of reports now that Brandon Merriweather was just trying to break the fight up. He was not the guy who had the gun, didn't have a gun with him, didn't pull the trigger, didn't do any of that. But this is going to have to play itself out.
Right.
You know, the incident happened on February 27th. There's been an ongoing investigation. The two men who were shot have retained a lawyer. Brandon Merriweather has retained a lawyer. This will play itself out at some point in the next weeks and months. But the bigger issue, I think we already had some speculation, at least by our fans, asked PFW in Progress, whether Brandon Merriweather would be a New England Patriot in 2011 before this came along. Does this affect that? We also found out that he hit some escalators that bumped his salary up $1 million for the 2011 season, which could play a factor as you're filling out budgets and depth. Safety, one of the deeper positions on this team, I would say, with the likes of James Sanders, Patrick Chung, Jared Page, Josh Barrett, who we don't know a lot about, Merriweather in that mix, certainly.
Possibly even Brandon McGowan, depending on his situation.
Sergio Brown as a special teamer, bottom of the depth chart guy. So do you think, A, this has any effect on Brandon Merriweather's future in New England, and B, what is that future in New England?
Yeah, I think it could. Now, we don't know all the details. We don't know the specifics, but I think the team's going to. I think
right.
Bill Belichick is going to. He's going to sit down, I would imagine, and talk to Brandon. And
he's actually down in the Florida area doing his annual Tony La Russa, Urban Meyer visit trip.
I would be surprised if he is not already in the loop about stuff like, you know, the situation here. It's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. Now, if he is seriously involved in this, I think that's the end. You know, if the worst case and that he is guilty of what he is being charged with. And,
well, then he won't have a chance to play for the Patriots.
Yeah, I was going to say he's going to jail. But at the very least, he was there. The police have confirmed that he was indeed there at the time of the incident. So we'll have to let the situation play out in court and let Brandon defend himself. My gut reaction right now, go ahead.
And that carries a lot of weight around here.
Right. I think his situation in New England right now is tenuous at best. I think he has got a foot out the door. I've been saying all along, before any of this legal red tape came up, that I thought his spot on this team was far from secure. And I think the only thing saving him is the labor uncertainty. I think if Bill Belichick had a full off season to go in here and seek a trading partner, he would have found one. Now, I don't think he's going to be able to do that, but you never know, because as we started this podcast, Andy, the owners did present evidently a proposal today that the Players Union is in the process of weighing. When we started this podcast, I don't believe Demoris Smith had responded yet. He claimed he wanted to do so by about 2 p.m. Eastern time. It was well after that when we started this podcast, and he hadn't done so yet. So who knows? Maybe we have some good news to report there down the road. And all of a sudden, the new league year starts before any of us thought it was going to.
And they can trade Brandon Merriweather?
Is that where you're going? And they can trade Brandon Merriweather. Who knows?
Who knows? Stranger things have happened. You know, Ellis Hobbs for a fifth-round pick or whatever. It could be that type of deal.
And in the immortal words of Fred Kirsch,
we'll see. Before we wrap up this podcast, I do want to send out best wishes and condolences to anyone in Japan. I know we are global. Jason in Chiba comes to mind, one of our PFW in Progress emailers, but obviously most people listening to this are well aware there was a major earthquake in Japan, tsunami that then hit the west coast of the U.S., Hawaii, major global disaster, and anyone who's seen the highlights can attest to that. It's I just said to you,
footage.
Paul, reminds me of the movie 2012 where you say, oh, that's CGI, that's fake, only it's not fake and people are dying and missing, and it's one of the great tragedies we've seen in the last few years. But our thoughts go out to the people of Japan and anywhere else in the world that's being affected by the earthquake and the tsunami, and hopefully all our listeners and your families are safe, and we pass along our thoughts to everyone involved.
Well said, Andy.
But that's going to put the wraps on another Patriots.com roster report podcast. Until next Friday, hopefully we'll have at least a CBA extension and not a D-Day. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. Peace out. His horse and his cattle are his only companions. He works in the saddle and he sleeps in the canyons, waiting for summer, his pastures to change. This is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.